Morning. If, as Paul says at the beginning of the second reading, all Scripture is written for our instruction, then it seems that today God is sending us rather mixed messages. The first reading from Isaiah could not be more idyllic. A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. What an image. The stump of Jesse. The family of David that had ruled for hundreds of years been cut off by the Babylonians. And hadn't had a ruler in Israel now for hundreds of years. It looked like a dried old tree stump out there somewhere. But a shoot shall sprout from it. New life from a root that everybody thought was dead. It will grow up like the cedars of Lebanon. What an image. And then the animal images. The wolf shall be a guest of the lamb. The famous lion and the lamb phrase does not occur in there. You get the wolf and the lamb and the lion and the ox. But the idea is there. It is said of the lion and the lamb that they shall lie down together, but only one shall get up afterwards. Speaking of that sort of thing, a little parenthesis. Everybody, he's not even parenthesis. This is a bracket. This is a short excursus on a wholly different subject. I realize that many of you are very much involved in a sporting event that is going to take place this evening. And I realize that there's a lot of incentive to pray for the success of your team and for the demise of the other team. I must inform you as your pastor that this is totally inappropriate. You cannot pray to God for somebody to fail or for a team to collapse or for people to get injured. It's just not right. On the other hand, prayer is in order if it is honest and even-handed, well-balanced, so that everyone is prayed for. It is, I believe, therefore, perfectly permissible to pray that Joe Flacco and Ben Roethlisberger alike succeed in throwing many passes to the Ravens. Close bracket. Back to Isaiah. Whose ideas seemed equally unrealistic. I mean, beautiful. Unrealistic, but beautiful. A child waving its hand over a snake slayer and not being bitten. The lion and the lamb lying down together, the lion and the ox, the wolf and the lamb, all of them together. Gorgeous imagery. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. A spirit of wisdom and prudence, a spirit of piety and of reverence for the Lord. Beautiful imagery. This is going to be a kingdom surpassing anything you can dream of. Not just that you could reasonably predict, but beyond anything that you can dream of. Dream big. Dream exotic. Dream glorious. And reality will surpass it. That's the image. It's the message of Isaiah. And then comes John. Sharp, shall we say. Angular. Nasty. You want a good image visually of John the Baptist? Go out to the BMA, the Baltimore Museum of Art, up by Hopkins. They have a sculpture garden. As you go into their sculpture garden, off to your right is a John the Baptist. It's about 6 or 7 foot tall, very modern, metal, angular, hard, edgy. Step back a few feet and get the effect of it. It's like this reading. It's challenging to put a good face on it. Confrontational, maybe. There's this constant echo of unquenchable fire. I think this was the passage that they used to teach all the redemptorist missionaries before they sent them out to parishes, you know? You heard about unquenchable fire at great length. This is rather a different image of the kingdom than the one Isaiah presented. Where do we go? For what do we look? Well, Paul said all scripture. Not just your favorite scripture, or not just the one you're most afraid of, but all scripture is written for our instruction. So what we need to do is to try to piece some of that together. We need to hear the beauty, the consolation, and the hope of Isaiah. Passages like this from Isaiah have been read in synagogue and in church forever and ever. Advent is practically Isaiah's season. It's the first reading, all the Sunday Masses, almost all of the weekday Masses, the whole breviary. This is the time of hearing about Isaiah. Surely this vision is being endorsed. It has something to tell us. On the other hand, while unquenchable fire can easily be overdone, and frequently is, the idea of challenge, that the kingdom of God is not just, you know, a bowl of cream set out before us, but a challenge that we are asked to rise to. John may have a point, you know. It's not about trembling in your boots. It's about hearing the challenge, about responding to it. The kingdom is coming, but it's coming slowly. It's coming gradually. And only God can bring it about, but God will not bring it about without us. We're all expected to accept the challenge, pitch in, try to expedite its arrival. Both of them point towards Jesus. Church has always read Isaiah seeing that. And, of course, John the Baptizer from the beginning of the Gospel was the initiation, the public ministry of Jesus. Both of them find their fulfillment in Jesus. Paradoxically, it's like you've got to go through John to get to Isaiah. You've got to go up to Jerusalem in order to be lifted up to the Father. You have to respond to the challenge in order to be given the grand vision. You have to participate in the death before you participate in the resurrection. You have to see Jesus as a symbol of God, pouring out God's self upon us and be willing to be poured out as well in order to lie down with the lion and the lamb and the ox and the bear. That's a little hard to keep in mind all at once. It's certainly not easy to work that out in imagery, you know, from oxes and bears and lions and lambs to unquenchable fire. Seems like the kind of dream you get after a long night in a Mexican restaurant. But somehow, it's all there. It's all scripture that was spoken for our instruction. It's all a part of seeing the light and embracing the light. Not being frightened by John's challenge and cowed into nothingness. Not being lulled to sleep by Isaiah's vision of coming loveliness. But rather, seeing in Jesus all these things coming together, the way that God has come, the way that God is coming, the way that God will come. A more complicated, prismed out light, but one that we do need to see and embrace. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.